1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York.
What do we want?
More workers are joining picket lines in Los Angeles.
These people are traffic officers, they're maintenance people, they're lifeguards, a variety of jobs, and all of them are covered by a union contract that these folks believe is now unfair. They're demanding better wages, better benefits, and they believe that the city has bargained in bad faith.
CBS's Mark Strassman tells us this is the first city strike in decades, and it's only supposed to last a day. But it comes as writers, actors, and hotel workers there strike too. In Alabama, police say three white men are facing assault charges for attacking a black dock worker in Montgomery over the weekend. Police Chief Daryl Albert says they're also looking into possible hate crimes charges.
While the Harriet was still out in the water, there was a lot of, I've seen finger gestures and comments and innuendos made at a distance. Of course, when the co-captain approached, that continued.
A special election in Ohio today could impact a controversial amendment vote in the state soon. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns is there.
Hi, are you registered to vote?
In November, Ohioans will decide if their state constitution should include protections for abortion access, something that, according to a recent poll, 58% of voters there support. It's a big number, but whether it's enough to pass will be determined by today's special election.
Meantime, former VP Mike Pence has qualified for the first GOP presidential debate of 2024 in 2 weeks in Milwaukee. But political analyst Larry Sabato says Pence's January 6th decision could hurt him.
Pence is going to have great, great difficulty getting out of the hole he dug himself by obeying the Constitution. That's really a sad commentary on our politics, but it's true.
The FDA finalized this last week, but the Red Cross is finally adopting new rules that will allow LGBTQ people to donate blood. Sarah Warblows with the Human Rights Campaign.
There are policies that should be updated and changed, including cornea donations, donations of reproductive materials. Changing those policies should be based on the same science as the change in the blood donations.
Up until now, gay men have been banned from donating blood. What would you do with $1 billion?
I would take care of my family, and then I would take care of, help the community out, and I would also help the school system down.
It's a good list. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot up to more than $1.5 billion. Good luck. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bartenders, are you ready to shake things up? Jammers Bar and Grill is seeking vibrant and energetic people like you to join their team. Once you join, your nights and weekends will be filled with excitement. Jammers Bar and Grill is also the go-to spot for parties and events. No experience? No problem. They'll train you to be a master mixologist. And the best part, their pay is as good as their customers. And they're the best. Join the team. Have fun. Make money. Stop by today and apply at Jammers Bar and Grill, 2810 Eagle Road in Rapids.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Big improvements could be coming soon to the central Wisconsin airport. CWA held an open house on Monday night to share their terminal area master plan with people in the area. CWA officials wanted to hear feedback from residents about their plans before moving forward. One important fact they want people to know is these improvements will not be paid for by taxpayers. Much of the funding needed will come from the FFA, the state, and private developers. Any public feedback received was presented at the board meeting this morning at 8 a.m. CWA will soon have new nonstop service to Orlando, Florida, starting October 5th with the addition of Avelo Airlines. There's only 5 games left in the regular season for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. They're sitting at 18-13 in second place in the Great Lakes West Division. They're looking to beat the Chinooks again tonight in Mequon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 58 tonight under clear skies, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 84, a mix of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 85.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Boys, I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone.
Welcome, everybody. Well, we certainly have a lot of information, and who does it belong to exactly is going to be the topic for today. My question to you is, do you, all else being equal, trust or distrust the U.S. intelligence community? Do you have an understanding about how it is that they gather intelligence? What the legal parameters are that govern how our intelligence agencies, which, by the way, there's like 40 of them. I'm not even going to try to list them all. There are like some subdivisions of the EPA and that deal with all manner of intelligence gathering. There are all sorts of different ways that information is shared and also not shared and compartmentalized. But I'm talking about the ones that we all are familiar with, like the National Security Agency. So the NSA, the CIA, the FBI. Do you think that Americans, do you specifically have an understanding of how they gather intelligence? And do you feel comfortable with how U.S. intelligence agencies gather intelligence? 844-967-2789. And I'm asking the question this way because for a while now, one of my longtime callers, and again, if you want to call in first-time callers, conservatives, women, you go right to the front of the line, 844-967-2789. Do you trust the U.S. intelligence communities and how they gather intelligence? One of my long-term callers has constantly been sort of talking about and referring back to both the Durham report, and yesterday reference was made to 51 intelligence officials whom, according to this caller, my good friend CJ, betrayed their oath. And so it got me thinking, not only who are these 51 people and what exactly was he talking about, and we'll get into all that, but fundamentally, it seems to me that partisanship around do we trust the intelligence agencies and what party is seen as more hawkish or less hawkish has gotten completely inverted. Do you perceive that as well? Here's what I mean by that. So I was in law school when 9/11 happened. And in fact, had just been in New York City in the downtown area the Thursday before the Tuesday that was that terrible terrorist attack on the United States in downtown New York City. Was interviewing at law firms, was walking around right around the towers. And the reaction after 9/11 was, let's provide more surveillance powers to these agencies. And here's a little news quiz, little history quiz for you, Anya. When the Patriot Act was passed, it passed nearly unanimously. Senator Clinton voted for it at the time. Do you know the one senator that didn't vote for this thing?
Oh, do I? Me?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I think I was still in diapers when this passed, so
we'll give you a pass. What, you weren't, like, sucking up all manner of, you know, domestic intelligence policy in diapers?
Yeah. My understanding is when 9/11 happened, my mom did face my crib towards the TV, so I absorbed something, I think, of that day, but
osmotically,
not the senators who voted for such things after, unfortunately.
Yeah, so the Patriot Act passed with 99 senators voting for it, and one senator voted against it, and that senator was Russ Feingold from the state of Wisconsin.
Ah, okay. There's a name I know.
Yes, and so my general frame when it comes to intelligence and intelligence gathering is this. What we have here are two values, and I often try to root our debates in values. Right. And the two values I see here are our civil liberties and our frankly, our right to be free from government surveillance. That's a value on one hand. And I think most Americans treasure that, both Democrats and conservatives. And on the other hand is our national security, because at some level, governments could surveil nearly everybody for everything, right? They could actually scrape the data, and it's not a question of can they, it's do they then have effectively both the man and computer power to be culling through all of this in terabytes of data every day, right? That's really what intelligence, in many regards, has become about. How do you cull the enormity of the data, and who gets to decide whose data you get to capture and when? So back then, especially being in law school, a lot of the more liberal or progressive thinkers within the law were deeply concerned about the powers that were given to the federal government, law enforcement, and intelligence agencies following 9/11. One of those things with a Foreign Intelligence Security Act warrant, they're called FISA warrants. These are basically these secret courts. There's Foreign Intelligence Security Courts that were created, and these freaked legal scholars out because the nature of the information that was used to get FISA warrants was not public. It's not like you could go read a case about it. The whole thing is concealed and secret. The courts, what judges sit on them, how they've ruled on warrants, who reviews the warrants after the fact. So we created effectively a closed system where we don't know which watchers are watching the watchers at what point in time. That's always been deeply concerning to a lot of civil libertarians. So fast forward to today in 2023, and we seem to have come to this moment where now it's the GOP that's attacking FISA warrants, and specifically this thing called Rule 702. And what's really interesting here is that who's right here, right? Were Democrats wrong post 9/11? And not just Democrats, 99% of them voted for it, right? Except for Russ. It's a little bit more divided in the House. But what do you trust America's intelligence communities? Do you think there should be more reporting? Do we simply not have a good collective understanding of these things? How important is this to you? 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network. You can always join us. Call or text 844-967-2789. But you can always go get that app, and then it's oh so much easier. But to me, I think there's a couple things that I want to observe here. I don't think it is appropriate for political parties to politicize the questions surrounding intelligence capabilities. In other words, when these questions that very, very importantly and directly strike upon the principles that we hold sacred within democracies, and that is basically freedom from government intervention, except with just and due cause, heard before a court, reviewable by another court, challengeable by the subject of that warrant ultimately. Do we feel comfortable that we understand what our rights are and what we can expect and what the reporting is from our government? And how concerned should we be that this is now being politicized? So I will remind us all that, yes, in the wake of 9/11, there were civil libertarians and the ACLU especially that were sounding an alarm very loudly and repeatedly. Interest groups that advocated for oppressed people or communities, like the NAACP, also expressed concerns because a power once granted to the government in terms of intelligence capabilities is very difficult to call back. And over time, the use of those powers expands. It's just their scope creep. They eventually expand beyond simply combating terrorism, as we all were righteously afraid of and angered by following the wake of 9/11. And that those powers would be used to surveil black and brown communities or queer communities or women's groups or political opposition, right? Like, this is the concern within democracies. But despite the fact that there were many stakeholder groups that sounded the alarm back in 2001, politicians did not raise the question. Russ Feingold was the cheese from Wisconsin standing alone. And has his concerns been proven right? Now, I can be disgusted by Jim Jordan's performative shirt sleeves routine in these House committees, but I find it astounding, quite a turnabout, that now we have Jim Jordan, sort of Republican flunky extraordinaire, and he's on the House floor assailing really critical elements of the Patriot Act, challenging and debating the value of FISA warrants and Rule 702. The difference between the two I'll explain after the break. But man, what's going on here? Has up become down? Is left right? What does all of this mean? How do we find our way in this? Well, I hope today to do that a bit with you. You can join me, pose questions. I might not know the answers to all of them because this stuff's complex. But we can at least begin to have these discussions. Because while I fervently disagree with my good friend CJ's perspectives on this, I think the questions themselves deserve answers. So let's do this together when we get back. 844-967-2789. Join me, Maggie Dawn, your host here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's 844-967-2789.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know, from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now,
that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
From Mequon, Wisconsin at Capco Park, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters take on the Lakeshore Chinooks in their final game here at Moonlight Graham Field for the 2023 regular season. And good evening, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Well, a game for the Rafters yesterday, and certainly a dominant one. They won the 7-1. They were out hit 8-4, but you take it to the top of the second. They got a huge early lead, 5 runs in the second. Helps from Ty Johnson were there as well. Ty Johnson had a big one out RBI double. And another guy that played well, Jack Gifford, he had a big RBI as well. So David Smigalski got involved. So a lot of different guys got involved. They went up 5-0 in the second, got a run in the third. And then from that point, Lakeshore really didn't have any momentum afterwards. They got a lot of leadoff hits, but really couldn't get anybody home. There was about 4 scoreless innings until you take it to the top of the eighth, where the Rafters got another run. They went up 7-0, and Lakeshore had a solo home run from Sam Honar in bottom of the ninth. But basically at that point, it was just a consolation run. The Rafters already ran over the Chinooks, and they're looking to do that once again here today. A crucial, crucial game, as every game from this point on is certainly big, as they're looking to take all the momentum into Madison for tomorrow, and that series will determine a lot. And I'll tell you that much, because right now you have Madison a game ahead of the Rafters. They throttled Green Bay 13-0 yesterday, and they are on the verge. They're looking to do that once again here today. But the Rafters, they're going to have to take care of business. And Lakeshore, a team really struggling. They're 25-41 overall. They're 11-21 here in the second half. They're 6 in the Great Lakes West, 8.5 games back of first, and their playoff chances went from slim to none. And they certainly they are eliminated at this point. So they're basically done, 8.5 games back, and they're just playing just for the pride of themselves at this point. And they're a team, though, has been really, really struggling in the second half. They've won 3 games of their past 16, currently on a 6-game losing streak. They lost all 4 to Green Bay the past 3 days, and then the other night, last night, they lost to the Rafters. So to 244, nonetheless, at 17th in the league, and also 524 hits in total, which is 18th. They have 320 RBIs, which comes in at 16th in the league, and 497 Ks, which comes in at 10th. But they're a team, though, that's decent in the fielding percentage. They're 12th in the league in fielding percentage with a .964, but you know, in the past 5, they've really struggled, to say the least. They're batting at 175. They've only had 6 runs, 29 hits because of it, and 6 RBIs. And on the defensive side, they've walked 33 batters. They've had 29 strikeouts as well. But playing against the Rafters, their batting average seems to go up. They batted .253 against Wisconsin Rapids with 92 hits this season and 41 RBIs. So Wisconsin Rapids leads the season series against them 6-4. And they're also here at Capco Park. They're 3-1 at Capco Park, so they do a lot of good work when coming here to Mequon, and they're certainly hoping to do that here once again today. The Rafters, they're a team, though, right now batting a .240. ERA with a 3.60. They're second in the least amount of errors and also third in double plays. So at Capco Park, they're 3-1 against the Chinooks, and they've outscored them 20-12. And when they bat against Lakeshore, they bat a 231. They've had 347 at-bats, 59 runs, and 80 hits because of it. But they've been struck out 100 times as well. So that's really been a thing for them. They've been struck out a decent amount. Lakeshore has had found ways to get guys out with three strikes. And they have a guy in today, Michael Carpenter, hoping to do that for them. A guy out of Madison College from Heartland, Wisconsin. He's had four games appeared in with 14 innings of work. He's allowed 16 hits, 5 runs, and 12 strikeouts for a 1.93 ERA. So Carpenter, a decent pitcher out of the bullpen for Lakeshore. His last game was when he played Madison on July the 31st. He went 5 innings. He gave up 7 hits, 2 runs, but he had a strikeout. So Michael Carpenter making his 5th appearance for the Chinooks, as they are going to be accompanied by Will Johannes, the catcher behind the plate. And for them at first base, they are going to have Jimmy Jurgensen as well, a guy out of Concordia University, Wisconsin, a senior from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. So Jurgensen making his first appearance here this series. And at second base, Sam Vomhoff at second. And you have now at third than it was yesterday, and a guy, Jacob Nelson, out of Northern Illinois. Jack Council at left, and at left, Jack Council out, shortstop, excuse me, and at left field you have Hanson and Drew Townsend at center, and Jack Meyer at right field. That's Carson Hanson at left field. As for Wisconsin Rapids, Johnny Antrovitz toes the slab today and making his first appearance here this series, and a guy that's had a 1-0 record, hasn't really been in the starting role a lot, but Antrovitz going to be on the mound is Levi Jensen back behind home plate. Brendan Bobo at first. Alec Castillo at second. Kyle Carlson at third. Ty Johnson at shortstop. And Anthony Gallison at left field. Orlando Lordoy at center. And Jack Gifford at right field. So that is the Rafters lineup for today. And, well, they're looking just to continue to play well. And they certainly have done that. A team that has won 8 of its past 10 and 11 of its past 14 games. So, you know, we look at this team and we can say, hey, they are playing their best ball late in the season, and that's the time to do it. But right now, National Anthem coming up as Lakeshore on the first base line and Wisconsin Rapids on the third base line. So we'll take a quick step aside. National Anthem here coming up shortly.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Back here inside Capco Park as this game just about 6 minutes away from the first pitch. Rafters, an opportunity for them to inch closer to Madison, and they're hoping Madison loses today while they can lift themselves to victory. That would put them in first based on the winning percentage. As far as the game total, they would be tied on games, but the Rafters would just have the edge on winning percentage. So Madison, for them, they're going to have to stay ahead in the Rafters on games throughout the season, because if it comes towards it and they're tied on games at the end of the season, the Rafters most likely will have that upper edge based on the winning percentage in the total, because they've played a little bit of less games in the second half. Or I should say Madison's played more games in the second half because they've had some cancellations in the first half, which had to move some of their games back. But it's a two-team race basically at this point. And those teams will meet tomorrow, which will be the most important series of the Rafters season. Certainly is, but right now you have to look at Lakeshore saying, hey, they've lost a lot of out of their games. They've only won three of the past 16 and currently have the worst record in the Great Lakes West. But, you know, for them, they're just trying to play good baseball at this point and try to knock down Wisconsin Rapids. You can't take this game lightly. It's saying, hey, look, we're just going to cruise over them just like we did yesterday. Every game is different. The Rafters have had times where they've had games where they've been heavily favored, and you can see they should win the game based on the pitching and who's in the lineup, and they absolutely flop. They lose the games. And there's times when you see where there's been good pitchers for other teams, and they've had great guys play in their lineup, and the Rafters come out and win. So you can't look at it on paper saying Wisconsin Rapids is going to cruise this game, because you don't know at this point. You just don't know this late in the season. You don't know Lakeshore. They've been a bit down lately, losing six in a row, and you know, so you got to take this game just as you would every other game. So this game starts in about 4 minutes. First pitch coming up. We'll take a quick step aside as first pitch on the way.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
If you are a firearms enthusiast, Dixon Gun Shop LLC in Nacoosa is a name to know and trust. At Dixon Gun Shop, they buy, sell, and trade firearms, ensuring you'll always find the perfect piece for your collection. And here's something special. They're a proud veteran-owned business committed to serving their community with honor and integrity. Whether you're a seasoned shooter or a first-time buyer, they'll assist you every step of the way. Dixon Gun Shop LLC, 328 Market Street, Nacoosa, or call 715-886-4867. That's 715-886-4867.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
A return from Capco Park as Lakeshore in there, all black tops with the white Lakeshore lettering on the front and the bluish numbers, blue teal numbers on the back. And they have the black leggings. As for Wisconsin Rapids, they have well, a little bit different uniforms as they normally do. They have, obviously, the remaining red and gold tops. They have the gold Raptors logo on the front and the gold numbers on the back, but they have the gray leggings today, so first time we've seen that in a while. But Ty Johnson will lead off on the left-hander, Michael Carpenter. And Johnson certainly continuing what has been a remarkable couple of games for him, a guy that's went 1-for-4 yesterday but had a 2 RBI day. He's had an RBI in at least one time in his past 4 games, so he's had a home run. Prior to yesterday, he had a home run in his past 3 of 4, so, I mean, he's really swung the bat a lot better and a guy that they can trust at this point in the season, and they have the entire way through. He has been here from the jump, a guy that's had 225 at-bats, batting at .271. He's at 61 hits. He leads the team in hits, runs, walks, doubles, and stolen bases. So he can do just about everything, and he's at shortstop today. And once again, back-to-back games, we've seen him at the sixth position because the entire way through he has been at center and second base. He's alternated between those two. Mostly he's been at center field, but since Aiden Brewer had to go back to school, Johnson's at shortstop, so he'll lead off the left-hander. So lefty on lefty, Michael Carpenter is at 14 innings of work. He's allowed 16 hits, 5 runs, 12 strikeouts for a 1.93 ERA. So out of Madison College, the left-hander will go to work here on Johnson and throws it a little bit low that time on a first pitch ball low in the left corner. So 1-0 count. Carpenter will come set once more and the kick, the fire to Johnson. And that time paints the zone at a strike, 1-1. One ball, one strike. On deck is Alec Castillo. Ty Johnson got that one out RBI double yesterday in the top of the second as he fouls this away, 1-2. One ball, two strikes on Ty Johnson. The starting pitcher yesterday for Lakeshore, Logan Dauberstein, started with 2 strikeouts in the first. Carpenter looking to get going here. The 1-2 to Johnson and a swing and a miss. The drop third strike from Johannes comes out and lifts it on to first to Jurgensen for the first out. So Johnson goes down. That puts one away. And this brings in Alec Castillo. 4 hits on 22 at-bats. He went 0-for-5 yesterday. He struck out twice. And he's been struck out 9 times this season. Two away, top of the first. Carpenter goes to work at a first pitch on the inside, paints the right part of the zone, 0-1. Castillo headed to Golden West College, the native of Norco, California. A previous attendant of San Bernardino Valley College, and a swing and a miss, 0-2. So no balls, 2 strikes. Carpenter already with a strikeout. 1 gone, looking to go back-to-back here. He'll set on the left-hander, Castillo. The 0-2 high and above, and a ball, 1-2. So 1 ball, 2 strikes. Castillo, the second baseman today, as he was yesterday. And Carpenter looks in, the 1-2 this time, and a swing and a miss. Another drop third strike. Johannes comes out and throws it on to first. And that's 2 down. So back-to-back drop third strikes, but they get the strikeout to the putout, and this brings in Brendan Bobo. 46 hits, 190 at-bats. He bats at .242. Also had a rough day yesterday, went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. But tied for first in the league with home runs with 13. Lefty on lefty, and Carpenter paints the zone that time at a strike, 0-1. He's been struck out 55 times, though, which also leads the team. But first amongst the group is a swing and a high fly ball into center field. Townsend comes under and makes the catch for the third out. So Lakeshore retires the side in 3 batters. We head to the bottom of the first, scoreless through a half inning. We'll step aside.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning,
Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. Start your classes and get your degree right here or transfer to your four-year.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. In person at four convenient campuses, online or a hybrid.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here for your Career Accelerator Certificate, a quick way to get ahead in your career.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Get started at mstc.edu.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Bottom of the first inning we go as Johnny Antrovitz will toe the slab today, making his third start all season. Both of those have been against Fond du Lac prior to today. So a guy that's had 16 games, appeared with a 1-0 record. He won versus the Dock Spiders on July the 14th. He's had 24 innings of work. Has allowed 18 hits, 10 runs, but 26 strikeouts for a 3.75 ERA. So Antrovitz, the rising redshirt junior out of Notre Dame College from Ashtabula, Ohio. Previously attended Mercyhurst University prior to Notre Dame College. And Antrovitz has been here the entire season for Wisconsin Rapids and throws high on Drew Townsend. Missouri State product, a sophomore from Kansas City, went 0-for-4 in the leadoff spot yesterday, is doing so once again today as he fouls this on the second pitch, 1-1. A 228 batter, 34 RBIs. Oh, excuse me, 24 RBIs for Townsend. He's had three home runs as well. And the 1-1 from Antrovitz. And a swing and a ball laced into right field. And that drops before Gifford can get to it. Rolls past him on his way to second is Townsend. And he leads off with a double. So already a better start for the Chinooks. Townsend's in second. And Jack Council, headed to Michigan next season, a high school senior from nearby Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. A 218 batter at the plate. Yesterday went 1-for-4, was struck out. He has five RBIs in Townsend here at second. Antrovitz will kick, set, and serve at a strike this time, 0-1. No ball, one strike. Jack Council, the brother of Brady Council, who was previously on this team, went home due to a wrist injury. And the 0-1 from Antrovitz, and that and a breaking ball, it just comes in on the right edge, 0-2. So no balls, two strikes. On deck is Adam Cootway. Council, the shortstop. Antrovitz looks at second and does once more. He'll set the 0-2 now. Up above the zone at a ball, 1-2. So one ball, two strikes. A bright future from the younger brother of Brady Council, Jack. A Michigan Wolverine this fall in Ann Arbor. And the 1-2 from Antrovitz. And a swing and a ball bounced away. Fouled off left side, 1-0. 1-2, excuse me. One ball, two strikes. Council, second at bat for Lakeshore today. They've already had a good start, a leadoff double from Townsend. He stands in scoring position. Antrovitz looks over at second. He kicks high in the 1-2 on his win, a swing and a ball lined into center field. Lordoy comes under it, but running on home is Townsend. So Lordoy wasn't able to get to it in time, and there is an RBI single from Jack Council. That's his sixth of the season, and Lakeshore already in front 1-0. So two hits and a run comes of it. As Adam Cootway, the DH out of Wisconsin Whitewater, and the junior from Des Peres, Wisconsin, was 0-for-4 with two strikeouts yesterday. A 273 batter, 29 RBIs. Antrovitz has to go to work and throws in low at a ball 1-0. So a much better start for the Chinooks. Two hits, one run. And the 1-0, a swing and a miss, 1-1. On deck is the catcher, Johannes. Wonder who will come in after Antrovitz today. There's a lot of depth in the bullpen for Wisconsin Rapids. They're a team that leads the league in ERA. And also 21-11 on the road. A much better record than at home. They're 17-17 at home. So they have four more wins and six less losses when going away from Winterfield. The 1-1 this time, and just a little bit low at a ball, 2-1. Fastball there from Antrovitz. And he played versus Lakeshore against here at Capco Park. Well, no, excuse me, back at Winterfield on June the 29th. He went an inning and gave up a hit. As a swing and a ball lined into left field, Gallison comes under it and makes the grab. Getting tagging back is Council. He'll get back to first. But if Gallison doesn't come out to make that grab, surely a run scores. So Cootway flies out, and this brings up Will Johannes out of Madison College from Muckwenego, Wisconsin. Batting a 207. He has two home runs on the season. He got a hit on four at-bats yesterday and was struck out as well. So Johannes, the fourth batter in the order. Council on his way to second. The throw from Jensen, and not able to tag it is Castillo. It goes behind Castillo in the center field, and Council will take third. So Alec Castillo not able to field that ball, and it comes in at an error. And now the second run for Lakeshore, 90 feet away at third. A lot better start for Lakeshore than yesterday. Rafters not looking too sound right now on the defensive side of the ball. And the 1-0 from Antrovitz fouled away right side. That's the first error for Wisconsin Rapids. And it comes on Castillo. 1-1, 1 out. Lakeshore already has two hits. Council stands at third. And the 1-1, a breaking ball up high, the left corner, 2-1. On deck seems to be Sam Vomhoff. Two balls, a strike with one down. And the 2-1 fouled away right side. I know, it's Carson Hansen, the left fielder. Two balls, two strikes. One down. The 2-2. Out and away on the right side, and the count runs full. One gone. The 3-2 from Antrovitz, and a swing and a ball well hit into center field. Back at the wall, Lordoy chases it, and this one's gone. Will Johannes, a two-run shot, and Lakeshore, a big early lead. They lead 3-0 here in the bottom of the first. Wow. Will Johannes recording his third home run of the season, hit that to dead center, 404 feet back. And the Chinooks, 3-0 over the Rafters. A two-run shot from Johannes, and this brings up Carson Hansen. As a swing and a ball bounced away here on Hansen. But I'll tell you, Lakeshore got a solo home run from Honar yesterday into right field. But Will Johannes right on cue with that. And Rafters, not a good start. One gone, no balls, a strike. And the 0-1 from Antrovitz paints the zone that time, 0-2. No balls, two strikes with one out. A two-run shot from Will Johannes. Carson Hansen. Down on this count, 0-2. The 0-2 and a swing and a miss and a drop third strike from Jensen. He goes out and throws the first for the second out. So Johnny Antrovitz recording his first strikeout. And this brings in Jack Meyer. Meyer, one hit on three at-bats. He was struck out yesterday. So out of Lindenwood and a sophomore from Fenton, Missouri. Batting a 150. Here, two gone. Set high from Antrovitz and throws outside at a ball 1-0. This inning started off with Andrew Townsend double into right field. You had an RBI single from Council into center. The 1-0. Check swinged up top. 1-1. Council hit it into center. Kootway flew out to left, and then Will Johannes, a two-run shot. Hansen struck out. So that's where we stand. The sixth batter in the order, Jack Meyer. The 1-1 at a breaking ball works that right side of the zone, 1-2. So ball, two strikes with two outs. Vomhoff on deck, and the 1-2, and a swing, and a ground ball in towards the glove of Johnson, and kicks on and throws the first as he gets Meyer. But Lakeshore, three runs, a two-run shot from Will Johannes, puts them up, and a good lead. We head to the top of the second. Can the Rafters respond here on WFHR?
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Konocki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Top of the second inning, Wisconsin Rapids already down 3-0. As I tell you, Will Johannes, a two-run shot. That was later on in the inning, but then at the start, Drew Townsend a double, and then Brady, and then Jack Council an RBI single. And this brings in Anthony Callison here, top of the second, after his no hits, and he's surrendered three runs. So Callison, 40 hits, batting a 253, as he'll see a strike there, 2-1. Two balls, a strike for Anthony Callison, 26 runs. He's had three home runs, and he'll see a ball, 3-1. He saw a lot of balls this series, the first game yesterday. He was only 0-for-1 because he was walked three times as a swing and a ground ball that stays fair on the first base line. Jurgensen comes under it and tags first. Callison goes down. So Orlando Lordoy now, he'll step in. Batting a 234, 15 hits, 64 at-bats, has 9 RBIs as well. Had a hit and a run on 3 at-bats last night. Lordoy out of Panama City and previously attended Clark State College before going to Benedictine University at Mesa. He recently told me that he's going to be attending Faulkner University in Alabama, another NAIA school, he said. But he said it's just a better program, so excited about that nonetheless. He feels it's a better program. One down, the 0-2 to Lordoni bounces low at a ball, 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Four straight batters retired. A good start for Michael Carpenter. The left-hander out of Madison College. And the 1-2 and a swing and a miss. Lordoy goes down. Carpenter records his third strikeout. And this brings in the DH, David Smigelski. Normally a catcher, but he's been swinging the bat a lot better as of recent. Leads the team in batting average with a .333. 7 hits on 21 at-bats. 6 RBIs, including yesterday where he had a 3 RBI day, went 1-for-2. You'll see it a first pitch strike now, 0-1. Two down, no balls to strike, in the 0-1 from Carpenter, and another miss, this time 0-2. So a good start for Lakeshore. They're up 3-0. Rafters haven't had their best start. Two down. The 0-2 to Smigelski, way high, a little bit of chin music there. He has to back away. He'll see a ball. So the Chinooks looking to go 1-2-3 once again. And the 1-2 to Smigelski, and a swing and a fly ball lifted away right field side and out of play. So 3 hits, 3 runs for Lakeshore. None yet for Wisconsin Rapids. Remind you, they were out hit yesterday by 4 more hits. But they found ways to get runs in early, and the 1-2 to Carp down low. Had a ball, 2-2. So deuces run wild, 2 balls, 2 strikes, and 2 outs. Carpenter towing the slab on the right side, and the 2-2 to Smigelski popped outside and fouled. One away, top of the second. On deck is Kyle Carlson. We'll see if he gets to bat, though. The 2-2 and a swing and a kind of a jam shot on the right field side, pulling away in foul territory. Jurgensen was running after it. Two and two once again. Smigelski at a LaGrange College and the native of Canton, Georgia. He batted a .310 for them this season. 3 home runs, 30 RBIs. And a 2-2 from Carpenter. Again fouled into the netting. Smigelski not going away so easily. A guy that's been walked 5 times this season. So the count remains here at 2-2. Callison grounded out to first, and Lordoy struck out swinging as another ball popped into the netting. David Smigelski, a catcher who played in 29 games with 28 starts back in 2022. He batted a .313 for them that season, 29 RBIs, And another foul back behind home plate. 2-2. Carpenter already up to 30 pitches. He has 3 strikeouts. Perhaps Smigelski can record the first Rafters hit. This time the 2-2. And another foul ball inside as it's fouled off. Looks like the left knee of Smigelski. He looks to be okay, but right now it seems to be.